Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
This is the official Caps Chirp podcast, proudly a part of the Hockey Podcast Network. Every team, everywhere.
What's going on, Caps fans? Me, the Hockey Troll, and I'm here with that snack, Polly Cupcakes.
What's going on, everyone? I'm Polly Cupcakes, and I'm here with that snack, Hockey Troll.
Shut the fuck up. I'm not the snack. You're the snack. Anyways, Caps fans, as per, we're diverting from the usual tradition of Hockey Troll and Polly Cupcakes talking about something that pissed them off or made them happy during the last week or so. That would be the Hockey Troll Hip Check or Snack Time with Polly Cupcakes. But instead, we're just going to dedicate this to a first round coverage of the NHL playoffs. If you haven't been watching, the NHL playoffs all around have been pretty fucking awesome. It's been blowout season, to be completely honest. So I think, Polly, we should just kind of get into it and talk about it. What do you think?
Let's do it.
One, two, three.
All right, Capstones, like I said, if you've known us, we would be here, you know, talking about, hey, this is what has happened, and here's our segments, and we're all assholes, but not today. It's the most wonderful time of the season, of the year, and we're going to be talking to you about the NHL playoffs in general. Obviously, you know the Washington Capitals are leading the Florida Panthers 2-1, three games in, so we don't have to talk about that. We can, if you have anything, Polly. Let's start with it.
I mean, I was just going to say, if you want to hear about it, listen to Monday's episode.
Absolutely. We go hardcore into it.
And also, we record on Sunday. So, if you're looking for anything after Game 3, you'll have to wait till next Monday.
Which we will have it all in great detail, for sure.
Wrapping up the series.
Yep. With a possible Caps win, maybe? Who knows?
As we record, you know, it's in Caps' favor.
It is right now. All right. So, Paulie, other than the Washington Capitals, we're not going to talk about the Caps here. We will a little bit, but I'm sure it'll always divert back. But should we start in the West or what?
I think we should start in the East with today's blowout.
Okay. And which one is that?
Tampa Bay evening the series at 2-2 with Toronto with a 7-3 win. You know, both of these teams have won in both arenas.
So far. Right.
You know, Toronto led with a 5-0 win, and then it was Tampa 5-3, and then Toronto 5-2, and today 7-3. So those two middle games were kind of close. But games 1 and 4, Toronto and Tampa in their respective games have just unloaded on the other team. And it's just so crazy to see, and this theme will continue to repeat.
Yeah.
About how teams can just trade beating the shit out of each other.
So this is what I would consider bad hockey. When teams can't play a close game, I don't like it. I don't know. I mean, where's the parity here when it comes down to the actual, like, where the rubber meets the road? All I'm seeing here is one team lays down, the other one, you know, butt fucks them.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like tonight's our night, so
right. You know, tonight I'm the top.
Yeah.
Tomorrow night you're the bottom.
Or I guess from a better perspective, to say tonight's their night, we'll get them next game.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they realize they're losing and they save their energy for game two. Now, obviously, that's not a conscious team decision made.
Sure, and but it's probably not even a real team decision at all.
Yeah.
We're just being dickheads here.
But that's what it feels like.
Yeah, exactly.
As if we were like,
well, one team, you know, and then we're going to get... So now you're saying that the series is tied 2-2, right?
Yeah, on the... I think it was like a... I think they were the primetime game tonight, Tampa and Toronto. And Tampa won 7-3. So game five on Tuesday...
Right.
We'll be back in Toronto, and, you know, shit, this will probably be a 1-0 game, just to smack us in the mouth.
You know, I'd love a 4-3 overtime win, like anything, to show some parity between these two fucking teams. This is reminiscent of two teams that are just too heavily offensively powered.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense, because, you know, when you're a good defensive team, even when you're not scoring, you're not giving up these kind of goals. And when an offensive team relies so heavily on the offense, these kind of things happen. You're either on and you blow them out, or nothing's falling for you and you get crushed.
Right, but then every time we run into the playoffs every year, there's one circus matchup, right?
Yeah.
Did I think that it was going to be Toronto, Tampa Bay? No. But it is. This is the circus matchup. I mean, everything's wild. There's absolutely, I don't even want to care. I don't care about advanced stats. And if you were to fucking show them to me, I'd be like, well, obviously this has been a gong show. So tell me less about that and what's going to happen next game. I don't know. It boggles my mind that the two supposedly best offensive teams, and I guess maybe it doesn't boggle my mind, but at the same time, you would think that Tampa Bay getting blown out like 3-4-0 or 3-4 in any game would have the intestinal fortitude to like come back on something like this. Wouldn't you think? I mean, back-to-back Stanley Cup champions.
Well, I mean, they kind of did. You know, they got beat 5-0 game one, came back and won 5-3. And then their next loss, depending on who you talk to, 5-2. I mean, it's kind of a blowout. You know, like I've said before, you equate it to football, 35-14. That's quite a domination.
You're right, but you would think that, like, within game, they'd be able to, like,
oh yeah,
turn some game. Shit around.
Yeah,
you know, come back from a deficit here.
It is.
I haven't seen that.
Yeah, it's odd to see the team that's trying to win three cups in a row, losing 5-0.
Yeah. And there's, I'll put it this way. Like I said, this is like the black hole of hockey right now. No reality matters at this point. Whatever happens, happens. And whoever comes out the other end, one fan base is going to be way happier than the other, right? I mean, one fan base is going to be the happiest of all, and the other ones are going to be like, fucking, Jesus Christ, burn the fucking town.
Yeah. And that's definitely going to be Toronto.
So you think Toronto's going to fucking blow it here?
Well, okay. So, you know, 4 games in, series tied.
Right, so what was your original prediction? We'll go back to that. I had Tampa Bay in 7. I'm sticking to it.
I had Tampa in 5. That's not happening.
That is not happening, you idiot.
Idiot. God. So, the shortest it can be is 6 games.
Yeah.
I think your Tampa in 7 looks very realistic.
Of course, because I've never been wrong in my life.
Never.
Okay, well, Tampa in 7, and it's going to be a gong show either way. But let's talk about real hockey, and we can go on down the Eastern Conference. And let's talk about the first wild card matchup, and that is wild card 1 held by the Boston Bruins taking it. Okay, so this last week was a little bit wild, especially when you looked at all the Eastern Conference. Well, all over, it was just, okay, it's blowout season to me. I was very disappointed, but also, like, happy.
Well, I don't mind seeing Boston get their ass kicked.
Right, but, like, there were just blowouts everywhere. Like, it was some of the games, there wasn't any real, like, so if you lose a game by, like, more than 3 goals, and you're in the NHL, you're just like, fuck it, move on. We can, I feel like when an NHL team loses by too much, you can't. That's not the team. That's not the team. That's a fluke. It's an anomaly. That's your extra butter getting it in.
Right? Yeah.
You know, that's like the good shit. And I would never want to waste all that mojo in the first round, but not to say any of the teams here have, but it's interesting to see that there's a couple blowouts here, with Carolina actually absolutely dominating, Boston. 2 games.
Yeah, but, I'm not surprised to see the Hurricanes go up 2-0. I am surprised by the score differences, but then it looked like, you know, I could have seen it going either way. You know, it looked like Boston easily could have been done for. But then it's also not a huge surprise that an experienced team like this comes back home and takes both games.
Right. So you look at this, and this is, Carolina had the top placement here, right? They won the Metro. They're playing against the first wild card, Boston. Destroy Boston 5-1 in game 1. Destroy Boston 5-2 in game 2. And it seems like that's all she wrote. Here's the thing. With hockey, I think that the old adage, or the adage, is you haven't lost a series unless you've lost at home, right?
Yeah.
Well, Boston goes, no, we're going to win both at home.
Yeah.
And not only are we going to win both at home, we're going to win in pretty dominating fashion. Boston wins game 3, 4-2, and game 4, 5-2.
That is a good response.
That's a pretty convincing fuck you to the Carolina Hurricanes, and that they have a little bit more on their hands than some bullshit sweep, which I think maybe some people were, you know, especially maybe down south, were thinking might have happened.
Yeah, and you know, just like the Tampa series. This is now a 3-game series.
Right.
Essentially. And, Carolina's going to get a run for their money here. And I think that's something that Carolina fans probably did think was, we got these two, it's over. And we've seen Boston a couple times, and you know, when you play them in the playoffs, it's going to be a fight the whole way.
Right. So now, Carolina Boston series tied at two. They're going back to Carolina. I had Carolina in six.
I had Boston in seven.
And that's madness. And you might not, you might come out of this. Who knows? Looking at how invigorating Boston has been at home, if they can replicate this in any way, shape, or form in Raleigh, you could be right. But I had thought that the Carolina Hurricanes, I remember I told you, I was like, look, this is probably a lock. This is the biggest lock other than the Rangers sweeping the Pens. This is the lock for me. I might come out wrong for the first time in my life.
Well, you were definitely wrong about the Rangers.
Yeah, speaking of which, the motherfucking Rangers just cannot get it done. And, all right.
And this is the team we were afraid of as Caps fans.
The Rangers? I was afraid of them.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, you and I and plenty of people on Twitter, it was, you know, is playing Florida really that bad? Because right. New York is the other option.
Right. And here's the thing. Shesterkin, game three, gets fucking benched, right? Mm-hmm. Giving up like four goals in the first. Then his team fights back for... To even it up, and then Heinen, out of nowhere, off a ridiculously out of control body check by Evgeny Kuznetsov, coughing up the puck. Georgiev gives up a bad just a five hole goal, which, I mean, I've got to say that's
Malkin bad. Kuznetsov? This is the second time
this this is Malkin.
Yeah, Malkin. You said Evgeny Kuznetsov.
I said Kuznetsov hit. No, did I really? Yeah. Just now I said Kuznetsov?
Yeah. After you called Kuzi Malkin on Monday.
Goddamn fuck. The devil is in my... What can I do? Should I burn sage around me?
Yeah, you should probably make a pilgrimage to Rome to make up for this.
Yeah. Yeah. Seriously, fuck me. Malkin makes a hit, gets it to Heinen, and it's just like the most Penguin-esque play that you can ever have. Goes up 5-1, or 5-4, and then it becomes 7-4, and that's it. Two. And then now we have to hear the fucking shitbag Penguins fans, water trash mouth breathers, talk about how Sidney Crosby is the best empty net assist maker of all time.
I mean, it was a nice play.
And look, I'll give you that. Yeah, it was a good play. But is now Sidney Crosby, because he like did some bullshit between the legs play to whoever the fuck, I think it was probably Carter or some bullshit.
I think it was Carter.
To put it into an empty net, is that him being the best all-time empty net play guy?
Right.
Is that even a stat that's kept or anybody fucking cares about?
Well, it is for Crosby.
Unbelievable. These shitbag Penguins fans are literally, and I've said it before, bottom 10% of all intellect in the human phenom. But here's the thing. You give this team hope, and you can't take that away. And yeah. I think the New York Rangers have done that. They're very young, and they do not have the drive. I mean, I don't know. They have the skill to beat the Pittsburgh Penguins. Absolutely.
They have the skill, yeah.
Well, third period of the last game, they had, what, three power plays? Three or four? And they did not capitalize.
You gotta be better than that.
It's,
you know, in, you know, game one, three overtimes. I mean, that's playoff hockey there. But since then, it's been 5-2 and 7-4.
Right. And honestly, the New York Rangers should be blowing out the Pittsburgh Penguins every night. They should be. Yeah. They should have swept. And they haven't. The problem here is the league.
All right. So you had them sweeping.
I did.
Rangers in six.
Right. And, you know, when New York, like, look, the New York Rangers need to get their young guys in line and just say, you're fucking better than this, you dumb bitches. Just fucking go out there and win the fucking game, you assholes. Shesterkin had, you know, a bit of a sloppy start. Put him in again and just say, this is what we're going to go at you with again. Lane Vigneault. He knows. Come on. Get it in. I'm highly invested emotionally in the Rangers winning this fucking series.
I couldn't tell.
Okay. All right. Well. I mean, think about it. If the New York Rangers move on, and either Boston or Carolina moves on, do the Pittsburgh Penguins have a chance to go to the finals? I shouldn't even put that out there in the universe, should I?
No, let's not talk about it.
Right. Fuck, Jesus Christ.
Let's go out west.
Yeah.
Well, before we go out west.
Before we go out west, I have to tell you, Cavs fans, hockey fans, Pursuit of the Stanley Cup is on. And DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, has an unbelievable offer for the most exciting playoffs in sports. New customers can bet $5 on any team to win and $100 in free bets no matter what, win or lose. Looking to turn a small bet into a big play during playoffs? With DraftKings same game parlays, you can do just that. Create your own parlay by combining multiple bets like which team will win, how many goals will be scored, and more. It's your shot at an even get bigger payout. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THMAN, bet $5 on any NHL team to win, and get $100 in free bets no matter what. That's code THMAN at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. As we move on to the West, it seems like, you know, Polly, we said, like, all these teams are all in, right? Every single one that we just talked about.
Yeah.
Almost. The good guys are winning in Washington matchup. Tampa Bay Lightning looks like a fucking coin toss at this point.
Yeah.
Same with the fucking... the Bruins' main win, which is insane. And then, who knows? The Rangers need to get their shit together, right?
Yeah.
On the other end, though, the Western Conference. I should have said sweep. I said Colorado in six. What do you got here?
I think I got them... let me see here. I got them in five. And you know, the crazy thing about this series, you look at these scores: 7-2, 2-1 in overtime, 7-3. This has actually been more competitive than the score shows. I've been watching most of these games. Game one was very much the blowout that the score shows. Game two, the Avalanche dominated, really, and the let me pull up the guy's name here. They had a backup in. And this kid almost stole the game. You know, I was thinking about the hockey troll adage of you're going to have to steal four games. And this kid was looking like he was going to do it. Ingram is the kid's name. He came in, played goalie, played such a good game. Cale Makar, it took him, he ended up having the game winner. And he had, how many shots here? Cale Makar had 12 shots on goal. There was a point late in the game where I believe Cale Makar and Nate McKinnon were out shooting the Nashville Predators.
It's like hockey show stats right there.
Yeah, right? But, like I said, Ingram, he was stealing this game for the Preds, game two in Denver. And it went to OT, and Makar did win it in OT. So, you know, after that game, Nashville had to be thinking, we're down 2-0, but we're going to go home. We played very well in game two, took them to OT. But then game three goes to Nashville, and it was good and competitive for a while. But then Colorado remembered who they were, won 7-3 on Saturday. And, you know, game four was on Monday.
Have you watched any of these games? You've watched them, right?
I've watched a good bit of all of them, yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, Nashville is competing, and it's no secret. I'm an Avalanche fan, and there's a guy on Nashville, Colton Sissons.
Yeah.
And he has a history of just having career series against the Avalanche.
Okay.
Like, every time they would play, like, they would always... I don't even remember what it was, but they'd throw up all kinds of stats about how he just, like, would, I don't know, in a series he'd have, like, three or four goals when he was, like, a 10-goal guy during the regular season, and he'd score clutch goals, and so I think I...
Justin Williams-esque.
Yeah, I mean, I made a TikTok about how I still, like, drift off into the distance when I hear Colton Sissons watching an Avalanche game. I mean, I heard his game on his name during the game on Saturday, and I was just like, "I hate this." But
so I mean, who comes back from a 3-0 deficit?
It's happened less than five times,
right?
I think in history, I had him in five. I think
I had him in six.
It won't get past five. It very well may be a sweep. But
right.
It won't get past five. So, by the time you're listening to this, you'll know the answer.
Yeah, I'd like to revise it. I think that the Avs are going to sweep. I just don't think that the... And so, Saros has been injured, or he was what?
Well, I know he wasn't there in game two. Can't remember if he played game three. I think Ingram also played game three.
Right.
So, they've been...
So, you name it. The Nashville Predators have had it in the sense of problems, right? I mean...
Well, he's played all three, actually.
Ingram has?
Yeah. He came in relief. Soros must have got hurt in the first game. Unreal. Or maybe they just pulled him. I can't remember. But Ingram has played 2.5 games. And they're,
All right. Well, Cap, since we may be witnessing history, if the Nashville Predators can pull one out and win this series, which would be, that would throw everybody's bracket except for everybody who loves the Nashville Predators on their fucking head. So I've got the first sweep being by the Avs here.
Yeah, man, it's very realistic. I think... I'm going to say five, just because so often teams gut it out and get that fourth win to avoid the sweep.
I initially said six, but I now think that was ill-advised. So, okay. Well, I'm going to revise it. Avs sweep. You're giving the mercy win to the Preds, and then the Avs are just going to dash those fears, or dash those hopes. Moving on, though. The Wild and Blues series. Okay. Instead of watching the Avs and Preds, I probably should have been watching the Minnesota St. Louis series, man. It's now tied up 2-2. St. Louis is coming back. And here again, you know, we're seeing this trend of like one team dominating on scoreboard versus the other, and it's just we're just trading blows here.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of big back and forths other than the Shitberg Penguins versus the New York Rangers in their very first playoff game where it went to three overtimes.
Yeah, and I think
any overtimes other than that.
Well, no, the Avalanche game two went to overtime.
Oh, that's right. Sorry about that. Yeah.
But that's all, yeah, all we've covered so far, there's only been two overtime games.
Yeah. Crazy, dude. And so, look, everybody, I think, I favor the Minnesota Wild. I thought the Wild were going to take it in, and let me review, seven. I thought it would be a hard-fought series. I had to give some love to the Blues. Though I don't think the Blues have anything in real life. I just think that they would do a good job against Minnesota.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's one of those things where St. Louis, you're still giving them respect and credit because they're not far off from a Stanley Cup. They've still got a good bit of those guys. And then, you know, Minnesota has kind of been an up-and-coming team for a year or two, and people are starting to buy in. So I think a lot of people probably picked this to go to seven, and right. Then it was a toss-up there.
And Minnesota's like that upset team. You know, they've upset in the playoffs in the past. It seems like they only have juice for, like, one shot. And it seemed like maybe if they were going to juice it up, it would have been against the Avs in the second round. Yeah. But here we are, game one, St. Louis comes out swinging, shuts out Minnesota 4-0, and then Minnesota answers with a 6-2 ass beating in Minnesota as well. So it's like, I don't know what the hell. Go back to St. Louis. Minnesota wins back-to-back with dominating 5-1 victories and 6-2 victories back in game two. And then St. Louis goes, "Oh, fuck that. We're going to win." And destroys Minnesota. I don't get it, man.
Yeah, it's wild.
Seriously, dude. This is now that I've seen four games or the results of, I think I may be tuning in more to the Minnesota series than the Avs. Here's the weird thing, though. Each of these wins have been completely lopsided. So, like, when I would turn on the Minnesota game, it would be like Minnesota's up like 2-0, and nothing happens, and I'm like, okay, that's done. Or St. Louis is up 2-0, and that's it. And St. Louis would hold the lead until the end. So, if we're talking about holding leads, there hasn't been a good back and forth on lead changes from this game, this series, I would say.
There has, or has
there,
not?
There has not been.
Yeah, just,
it's like whoever's winning is winning, yeah. And that's it. So you literally may know the end of the game in the second period.
Yeah. You know, the next series we've got has actually been pretty competitive.
Yes.
You know, Calgary comes in, you know, the number two seed in the West. They win the Pacific. People are thinking if anyone's going to beat Colorado, it's Calgary.
Yeah. They got to get there first.
Right. You know, in Dallas, they've still got a good bunch of guys.
Went to your the favorite, Jamie Benn.
Jamie Benn, yeah.
Capitan. Oh, El Capitan.
What a guy. I'm just glad.
That motherfucker.
I'm glad he's not American. You know, Calgary wins 1-0, game one.
Yeah.
And then Dallas steals game two, 2-0 in Calgary. And then game three, coming back down to Dallas, 4-2. I mean, these are close, competitive games. I haven't watched them, but, like, the little bit of summary I've read, you know, they seem to be pretty hard-hitting, physical, close games. I mean, I think Dallas is really bringing the body on Calgary.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, it's a series where I thought Calgary would take that physicality and shove it down Dallas's throat, but it seems like they haven't. I will say this. This is the one series where the officials are allowing fights, and serious fights at that. In today's game, just big old brawl, like a big, one-on-one fight in the slot, Calgary's in, or in Dallas is in. So this is the only, if you want to see fights, this is the only series they're letting them fight, it seems.
Yeah, and it's probably the highest quality of hockey.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. This, you look to the West, and it's like, it's, and of course, us being Eastern guys, it's who pay attention to the East, it may be the most kind of unestablished in the sense of, like, who knows what's going to happen, but I look at this Dallas and Calgary series and having Dallas kind of fire back here. Who knows what's going to happen?
Would you have picked before?
I had Calgary picked for sure.
Yeah, I had Calgary in six.
Me too.
Yeah, but watching this series, I mean, I think Dallas in six would be a reasonable guess.
Sure, but either way, I'm not sure how many teams are going to be completely healthy coming out of this series, yeah. Even if they win.
Yeah, this right? is a battle.
Exactly, exactly. So, like, who knows what's going to happen coming out of this? And then they may have to play Edmonton or LA. And so, what do you think about the Edmonton or LA series?
Well, I like to see that LA got a win. You know, they came out game one, 4-3 win. I'm sure Edmonton wasn't ready for that. They were ready for game two. 6-0. I mean, kind of like the Avalanche series. This is, or is that it? Yeah. Like the Avalanche series.
Right.
You get the, or no, I'm sorry. The Panthers and Caps. You know, when the second game happened and the Caps got blown out. This right. is what people were like, this is what we were expecting.
Well, the on opening night in the NHL playoffs, this was the only, like, cool game to be watching. This was like back and forth, three goals. It was a ladder system. Each team scored and answered. And then ultimately, LA scores a late one and wins it. And then you have the next game, and Edmonton finds their shit yeah. and absolutely destroys LA.
And they get
back to back.
Yeah, back to back blowout. So it's kind of like with game two for the Panthers. I'm sure fans were looking like, okay, that's what we expected.
Right. And in L.A., I you know, I hate to say it, but I think Edmonton's on a roll. I think that they might end this in five.
Well, here on Thursday evening, or Sunday evening, 4 minutes left in the first, L.A. is winning 2-0 in game four.
What?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
I mean, okay. There were so many teams in, all in, on this NHL playoff season. I would say Edmonton is one of them. Wouldn't you?
Yeah.
If LA comes away with this series, so many people's brackets are fucked. They're busted completely open. I don't know. And here's the thing. You got all these, like, old Americans. Dustin Brown, Jonathan Quick, and then the Slovak, Anze Kopitar, like fucking killing it. It would be interesting to see this. I don't know, man. You can never judge the NHL playoffs.
So what'd you have? Edmonton?
I had Edmonton in five.
I had LA in five.
Whoa.
Which, I know, was ridiculous.
I know. We already discussed that.
But yeah. I think LA in seven looks reasonable right now.
What period is it?
It's the end of the first. Well, almost the end of the first.
I don't give it. I don't have nothing. Well, I have zero trust. Connor McDavid could go off for three in one period and be like, that's fine.
Yeah, he could.
And that's the shitty part. LA is still sticking true to their identity, which would be, you know, protecting, you know, play low scoring games and let's play them. And we'll eke it out by one goal. And that's what they did in game one. So they're still owning that. And I believe I feel like I've said Alain Vigneault like 100 times, but I don't know who's the coach of LA right now. I think it's Alain.
I don't know.
Hold on. But in any case, so many teams being all in, I thought this would be a little bit more competitive in the games.
Yeah.
Amongst the first round. What did you think, Paulie?
Well, I would have never guessed that starting the playoffs out, teams would just be trading blowouts. I mean, I guess if it's going to happen, I would say it would happen in the first round. But, yeah, I mean, I expect to see more overtime, more one-goal games.
Sorry, it was Todd McLellan, who's the head coach of the Kings. San Jose Sharks coach. But interesting to see a little bit of a shift there. So, what were you saying?
I would have expected more one-goal games. I mean, maybe two with an empty netter late.
Yeah.
More overtime games. I mean, I think there's only been two overtime games as of Sunday evening.
Right.
And, yeah, man, I'm just double-checking that real quick, but...
Well, I mean, to your point, there were so many, like, teams that loaded up for this exact reason. And it is either... It's just been lopsided either way. While that's entertaining hockey, I don't know. It's not error-free hockey, right? Like, you're looking at when it's a close game, everybody's not trying to make a mistake. Here, everybody's just trying to like outscore, it seems.
Yeah, and I mean, hockey's the kind of game where even if the scoring isn't high, it's super exciting because every play has you on the edge of your seat because it's like there's the, you know, everybody wants kinetic energy when they watch sports.
Sure.
But hockey's got the potential energy. Yeah. You're sitting there and it's like, all the mad scrambles in front of the net that don't happen, the ring in the post, defense laying down, making a play. I'm sure all that stuff's happening in these games, but, you know, we're just so used to less goals, and I think that adds a whole new dynamic, and that's... I do enjoy a shootout every now and then in terms of the scoreboard, but... I think it's better when it's these one-goal games where everything just is amplified because the next goal just changes everything.
Fair enough. I do too. I thought that these games would be closer. It just seems like every game is the deciding factor versus every moment.
Yeah.
Within the games. All right. Well, Capsman's... We hope that you're keeping up as much as we are. I know we kind of gave you a broad overview, but in the bright side, Washington Capitals lead the Florida Panthers 2-1 and have the Florida Panthers again on an evening game in D.C. and then could potentially end it with two wins back-to-back. You know, they say, Paulie, you can't lose a playoff series unless you lose at home, right?
Well... Yeah, you're not in trouble until you lose at home.
Right. Well, I say, unless you lose two back-to-back, you're not in trouble. So,
but I guess that is right. You can't lose if don't lose at home, right? Well, no. If you're the lower seed, you would only have three home games. If you're the lower seed...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so you could win all your home games and still lose the series.
Right, and so what I'm saying is, like, if you lose back-to-back, that's when you're in trouble.
Yeah. So if we're lucky, by the time people are listening to this, the Caps have already won in 5.
Let's go. All right. Caps fans, we love you. We mean it. Thanks for tuning in. If you like us... Please find out where you can rate us and 5 stars only.
5 stars only.
And until Monday, where the Caps could be out of it by Monday.
Well, we'll have a result, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Until Monday, Caps fans, stay strong. Hakucho, Poly Cupcakes, signing off.
Bye.
Hey, Caps fans. Thanks for tuning in to the official Caps Chirp podcast, repping the greatest team in the NHL. Follow me, the Hockey Troll, at Hockey Trolling on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
And follow me, Poly Cupcakes, at Cupcake Poly on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok.
And follow the show's handle, at Caps Chirp, on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Special thanks to the Hockey Podcast Network, at HockeyPodNet on social, and thehockeypodcastnetwork.com. The Hockey Podcast Network. Every team, everywhere. Check them out, or we're not friends anymore.